Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. I've got my tenses wrong here. Was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and saith, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Amen. May God bless to us this passage from the scriptures. This account that we have in Acts chapter 8 about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch is very interesting, and it has so much in it that we could really spend quite a long time on this passage alone. And I did wonder about trying to split it up a little bit, but I think for the sake of progress through the Acts, we'll just deal with it as one passage and as one day's message. But I wanted to draw your attention to the fact that here was a man, a eunuch, a very important man, a very senior man in the government of Ethiopia, and he was in Jerusalem to worship. He had come up for one of the feasts. He had come up to be at the temple. He had been here worshiping in Jerusalem. And I think it's very interesting to note that he had undoubtedly had opportunity to hear the gospel in Jerusalem. There were now thousands and thousands of believers in Jerusalem. There was a real ferment, there was a real trouble and a disruption in the city because there were so many Christians. There were people who were persecuting the Christians. Stephen had been slain. And there was a lot of activity and there was a lot of interest in this new faith, Christianity. But this man, the eunuch, he hadn't had anything to do with what was going on in Jerusalem amongst the Christians. He wasn't converted, not in Jerusalem, and his introduction to the gospel and his conversion took place out on a dusty road in the middle of the desert. I think that's very interesting. I think it's interesting that while an individual had the opportunity to hear the gospel preached, even to go to some of the services where the apostles themselves were taking the meetings, taking the services and preaching the gospel, it all went past him. And it was only when the Lord God sent a preacher, sent an evangelist out into the desert, that there the individual met the Lord. I think we can see something of the providence of God surely in this episode. Here, Philip was instructed by an angel to go out into the desert. He wasn't told why he was going there. You know, sometimes we would take the line, we would think to ourselves, there's something really important happening here in this city. There's something very important going on when the gospel is preached. And Philip was in Samaria, and there were many, many people getting converted. And the angel of the Lord came to him and said, I want you to go out into the desert. And Philip says, no way, there's too much work to do here. There's people being converted here. This is the place for me to be. But the angel of the Lord said, no, I want you to go out into the desert. There's nobody in the desert. So Philip was obedient to the instruction that the Lord gave him. The eunuch was traveling. He was traveling. He wouldn't be in one particular place for any more than a few moments. Anywhere on that road, as he was heading home from Jerusalem, he could have been. But he met with Philip. And Philip met with him exactly in the right place at the right time. The passage that he was reading was a passage which puzzled him. His curiosity was stirred with this passage out of Isaiah, a passage we are familiar with. It's from chapter 53. And he wondered, who is this man that is being spoken about in Isaiah chapter 53? Is it the prophet? Is it Isaiah himself? Or is it someone else? And suddenly, here is somebody running alongside his chariot. And he's looking up, and he sees this man reading the Bible, and the man looks down, and he sees this man running alongside. What would you do if you were driving that chariot? I think you would say to your driver, go faster. Go faster. Get me out of here. But you see the way that God brought everything together in that moment, because God was in control of this man's life and this man's conversion. You can never outrun God. People would say, you know, he had his opportunity. He was there in Jerusalem. He could have gone to hear the apostles. He could have gone to any of the Christians' meetings. He had his chance and he blew it. And the Lord sent an evangelist out into the desert, and he met him there, and he converted him. We see the hand of God in this, don't we? He'd missed the gospel in Jerusalem, but he found it in the desert. There's a message there too. Sometimes we feel as if those that we love, perhaps it's our family, perhaps when they're children, we bring them along to church and we hope that the gospel will enter their hearts, enter their souls, enter their minds, and they will be saved under the sound of the gospel. And they grow up and they grow older and they go to college, they go to work, they move away and they become less and less interested. And we think to ourselves, they had their Jerusalem moment. They had their opportunity. There was a preacher there that day. And they passed it by. Listen, our God is bigger than that. Our God can reach them in the desert, supposing he has to send an evangelist to speak to them personally. That is the God that we have. And let us always be ready to see the glory of God manifested and be ready to take our prayers for those that we love to his throne, that he might send that gospel by whatever way he deems fit to the ones that we love and care for. And once again, we see that Philip, when he encountered this Ethiopian eunuch, he did exactly what he had been doing in Samaria when he was preaching there. We were told that he preached Christ in Samaria. And here we are told that he preached Jesus unto him. And that was just exactly the same message. He preached the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip opened his mouth, Acts 8:35, and began at the same scripture, at the book of Isaiah, and preached unto him Jesus. He preached about who Jesus was. He preached about why Jesus came. He preached about the words that Jesus spoke and the works which Jesus had accomplished. He spoke about the sacrifice that Jesus had made, the just one for the unjust. He spoke about Jesus as the Lamb of God that had been sent to the slaughter, that our iniquity had been laid upon him. He spoke from Isaiah 53, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's lovely to see the way in which God the Holy Spirit opened the understanding of this Ethiopian eunuch to receive these truths. As one who had identified with the Jewish faith, now I don't know whether he was a Jew who was now working in Ethiopia, or he was an Ethiopian who had converted to Judaism. But for whatever reason, he was a man who was in Jerusalem worshipping God. What he believed was that there was a Messiah to come. He believed the Old Testament scriptures that spoke of the promised one. And what was revealed to him in his chariot on that day, as he travelled along that dusty desert road, was that this Messiah had come, and it was Jesus of Nazareth. And it's lovely to see how this eunuch, having heard something of the Lord Jesus Christ, having heard something about baptism as well, it appears, whether that was in Jerusalem or from his religious understanding, or whether it was something simply that Philip mentioned to him in the process, he at once desires to be an obedient follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Here's water. Is there anything that hinders me from being baptized? Am I eligible for this baptism? Do I qualify to be baptized into the believers in Jesus, the people that follow after Jesus?" And Philip says to him, "If you believe the gospel, you may." Do you believe the gospel? Because baptism is for believers. It's believers' baptism. It was a simple, but it was a comprehensive testimony that the Ethiopian eunuch made. He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That tells us that he knew something of the promised Messiah. He knew that Jesus undoubtedly means deliverer. He knew that Christ is the one who is anointed of God, the promised Messiah that was to come. He knew that this one would come from God and he would establish a kingdom. And now he had discovered that it wasn't a physical kingdom like the Jews were expecting, but it was a spiritual kingdom. A kingdom of the heart, a kingdom of the soul, a kingdom in which the Lord Jesus Christ enters our life as King of our life and takes rule and control of each man and each woman, each boy and each girl, as he sees fit. The baptism that Philip performed here with the eunuch was the baptism of immersion. It's foolish to try and think there's any other way in which this could be explained. They both went down into the water, and they both came up out of the water. None of that was necessary for any other kind of baptism. And then right at the end, we're told that these two men who'd had such a short introduction and meeting, and yet such a significant meeting, parted ways. Philip was miraculously removed. That in itself was a powerful act of God to simply take him away. We don't hear too much of that kind of miracle in the scriptures. He was simply removed. It's as if the angel of the Lord said, "Okay, Philip, your work's done here. Now I've got more work for you to do, more preaching to be done, more lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ in other towns and cities in this land." And the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way home, having discovered the Lord Jesus Christ as his own Saviour, having been baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ, and having borne testimony and witness to that change of life which had resulted by faith in Christ. Saving knowledge of Christ and true faith in the Son of God was now this man's portion and this man's life. And I think it's just lovely that while he perhaps never met Philip again in the rest of his life, there he was, heading down into Ethiopia, carrying the gospel with him, carrying faith in Christ in his heart, one of the Lord's little ones who would never any longer be without the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Holy Spirit with him. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us and encourage us in this fine message about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Amen.